Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with John Rubino, founder and editor of the Dollar Collapse website. And John, I've already started off this week talking about the continued move higher in copper and some of the news that's going to drive oil this week with the OPEC Plus meeting. But overall, if we take a step back and look big picture, we have copper breaking out, oil continuing to move higher and break out of a short-term trading range that it has been in. We also have the U.S. dollar continuing to look generally weak. This all, you would think, should point to higher inflation. We're still not seeing huge inflation in terms of the numbers that we get presented. But the fact of the matter is, again, you would think that there would be some inflation coming, which would initially make the Fed happy because they have even said they want inflation to run over 2%, their target level, for a little bit of time. But the question is, are we going to get screaming inflation that just blows the Fed and their expectations out of the water? John, where do you stand on understanding the inflation narrative?
Hey, Corey. Well, yeah, industrial metals are way up. Agricultural commodities are way up. Houses are screaming right now. Stocks are at bubble levels. Bonds are at bubble levels. So at what point do we shift our focus and start thinking we have an inflationary economy? You know, how many things have to go up before we don't believe that there's no inflation anymore? And I don't know, but especially with industrial commodities like copper, you know, that stuff feeds into consumer prices eventually, right? Because if you're buying something that has copper in it and copper goes up, then the price of that thing has to go up. So I don't know, you know, and officially reported inflation is like 1.3% in the US. I don't know what it is in Canada, but I assume it's pretty similar. It just seems kind of hard to understand how that can be. Well, you've got all these other things going up by at double digit rates. You know, houses in the US are, this just baffles me that we could have a housing bubble in the middle of a pandemic lockdown. You know, how can that be? How are people even house hunting now? You know, but they're doing it apparently, and they're putting in multiple offers on every house at 10 or 15% above the asking price. It's just crazy in a lot of places.
Yeah, it's the same here in Vancouver too, John. Houses are flying off the market. But that being said, the condo market has really slowed down too, right? So there is that little bit of balance.
Yeah, a little bit of balance. And you think they're, you know, because part of the explanation for housing in the U.S. booming is that people are moving out of cities because they don't want to be around civil unrest or pandemic lockdowns in an apartment anymore. They want a house in the suburbs. But urban home prices are not going down. You know, you would think they would go down to offset the suburban and rural real estate prices going through the roof. Not happening, you know, even in most cities like Seattle. Seattle should be a place that people are moving out of. And demographically, that's the case. But Seattle home prices are way up. I can't explain this. It doesn't make any sense. We might look back on this as one of the first indications that the economy was changing from a disinflationary, maybe even deflationary economy to something a little more inflationary, just because so many things are going up. And we're not done with the pandemic stimulus. Once things settle down in the U.S., it's not clear what kind of a package is going to come, but they're going to come out with a pretty good sized pandemic package. And that's going to involve borrowing a huge amount of new money and creating a huge number of new dollars to cover all that new debt and everything, which is inflationary. So we're not done yet. And if the last set of things we did have resulted in copper spiking and houses spiking and all this other stuff we talked about, then we'll see what the next package does. Because you can, you know, you can create a lot of new currency and get away with it. But at a certain point, you can't get away with it anymore because it starts manifesting as huge sections of the economy seeing prices spike. And it feels like we're not far from that now. So we'll see what happens in 2021 when we start spending even more money.
But John, do we need to be worried then if we do get this spike in inflation that the Fed and all this expectation of the stimulus trade is going to be a lot less as to what actually comes to the market?
Well, see, that's the catch-22 in all this. People are buying, for instance, stocks and I guess to an extent houses in anticipation of prices continuing to go up. But there's a point at which prices going up takes away the rationale for the Fed to continue to ease, right? And the minute they stop easing, the minute they start raising interest rates again, financial asset prices will collapse. And we've seen that happen like three times just in the last few years. When as soon as the government starts to kind of tighten a little bit, prices go down in the stock market. So that's what rising stock and bond prices could give us. In other words, collapsing stock prices in the future. So I don't know what the answer is to any of this. It's all so crazy. But yeah, if the economy starts to improve either via rising asset prices or rising employment, then that eliminates the need for more stimulus in the future. But the financial markets can't exist without continued increasing stimulus. So we're stuck in this place where we get horrible consequences if we do one thing, but we get horrible consequences if we don't do that one thing. So I don't know. You know, to me, well, running a site called dollarcollapse.com, you know, I think it's going to be chaotic no matter what. And I do. It just looks like there's no way around some kind of chaos. Whether we continue with what we're doing or whether we stop and try to go back to something reasonable. Either way, crazy times coming.
Yeah, crazy times are coming. You know what? We are living through a pretty crazy time right now. 2020, nobody could have expected what was happening, but also this recovery in markets and in a lot of these commodities. Pretty shocking. That being said, boy, oh boy, we are getting a sell-off in the precious metals. Maybe a little bit of a bottom starting to form, but overall, last week was very tough for the precious metals and even some of the precious metals stocks. What do you think, John? Is gold close to a bottom here? Could we be seeing some more weakness through the rest of this year?
Well, gold and silver had really nice runs of a couple of years, and it's reasonable to expect some choppiness and a little bit of a correction and some consolidation for a while. But there is no reason to expect that to be a longer term problem because the fundamentals for precious metals are spectacular. And by fundamentals, I mean the amount of new debt that's being taken on in every major society and the number of new dollars and euros and yen that have to be produced in order to cover all that debt. That's good for gold and silver. So longer term, prices will go higher, which means that even if they have a very sharp correction right now, that it's more along the lines of what happened in March of this year, when everything tanked, including gold and silver and mining stocks, but then they rocketed back up as soon as the correction was perceived to be over, or 2008, when the same thing happened. So I think corrections are buying opportunities in these secular bull markets, which is what you've got now with precious metals. So what I'm doing personally is putting in low ball offers now. You know, I'm looking at a company that I like, a mining company that I like, and saying, okay, well, it's at 11 right now. Let me try 8.5 and see what happens. And so I have mixed feelings now. A short, sharp correction from here would be great in one way, because I'd get to buy some really cheap shares, but it would be really painful to the stuff that I already have. So that's, and I think that's kind of how investors in this market feel in general, because a correction would be nice. It would let us buy the stuff that we didn't get a chance to buy last time around, but it would also make everything we have bought go down. Which is kind of the reason you diversify, right? So that something is always doing all right, and you can focus on that, and that is psychologically healthy to look at the things that are working. So you need to be spread around so something is always working. And that's kind of, since I'm not very spread around, that's kind of how lowball offers on mining stocks work for me, because if gold and silver are tanking, then I can look at the fact that I might be able to buy some cheap shares and be happy about that and ignore the bad stuff that's happening.
John, it sounds like you are out there shopping, and you're not the only one that has told me that you're looking at this as an opportunity to get some good deals on stocks. But overall, yes, this correction has come a little bit quicker than some people thought, but this correction can be very healthy. It's just more about where the bottom will be and how quickly we can get a recovery. But hey, right now there is still a lot of money flowing into resources and commodities, just not the precious metals. But that's okay. It's showing a different aspect to what investors are expecting. John, great chatting with you, buddy. We're going to wrap it up here, but I will be chatting with you in another couple of weeks. So have a great rest of your week.
Thanks, Corey. You too.